Desiree, to get the audience familiar, what's kind of the premise of what The Martian Chronicles is about?
The Martian Chronicles is a set of short stories that Ray Bradbury wrote, and he didn't write them all at the same time. He wrote them over a span of about 12 years, and they're about Earth becoming uninhabitable through several different changes, environmental changes, war, famine, different things happen that make Earth uninhabitable. So it's about these people who try to colonize Mars, leaving Earth.
And as a radio play, I imagine this is pretty different to have worked on the production compared to doing something that's more visual on the stage. Can you tell us a bit about that?
This is a lot more text heavy than anything I've ever done before. I usually try to spare down the words a little bit more and make and tell the story visually. But this one, at first, I didn't want the narrator in at all, but then working on it, I was like, there has the narrator has to come in at some points. So yeah, it's a lot more words and it's a lot more text than I usually like to work with, but that was a great challenge, is adapting it so that it was enough but not too much.
If you're comparing them side by side, I mean, what evolution are you seeing here?
When you get the actors actually giving life to it, they change it. And during rehearsal, I realized that some of the characters that started out as male would be better female. So that was one adaptation technique. And then there was one scene that's in the book that we had to cut for various reasons. So it was a matter of cutting that and then replacing it with some other scenes. Just because I realized during rehearsal that there was one scene that just wasn't going to work for this production. So there were, I mean, it's always different when you're, creating a performance, because it tells you what it needs to be and you just have to listen.
I'd like to play an excerpt of a scene here, and it's a character named Tomas who's going out for a drive, I believe, and the narrator is just describing so vividly the essence of time and the music behind it, which we'll talk a bit more about in a second. But is there any primer that you'd like to give the audience as to what's going on in the scene?
This is just a young guy out for a drive, and he's actually on Mars, but it's made to seem like Earth in a lot of ways.
It was a long road winding in the darkness. Tomas had been driving for an hour with no other car on the road, no lights, just the hum of the road under his tires. Mars was always quiet, but seemed much more so tonight. There was the smell of time in the air tonight. Tomas smiled at the thought. What does time smell like? Dust and clocks and people? Water running in a dark cave. Voices crying out. Dirt dropping down upon the hollow box lids. What did time look like? Like snow falling silently in a black room? A silent film in an ancient theater? Thomas shoved his hand into the wind outside his truck window. Tonight, he could almost touch time. He pulled into a dead little Martian town. He sat looking at the tall white buildings in the moonlight, uninhabited for centuries, perfect, faultless. Ruins.
Let's talk a bit about the use of music in that scene. Something that I noticed was the ch-ch-ch going on with the hi-hat on the drum set.
Yeah, it's a drum kit.
And so Delbert Anderson, a local musician, am I correct that he wrote all the music original for this?
He did compose all of the music. I was trying to find someone that would be a good fit with the feeling of and the tone of the piece, and his jazz, but he's I don't know, he's got his own unique sound, and so yeah, he it fit really well, and he created some really beautiful pieces to match the different scenes and the different tones, because every scene is kind of there's a lot of variance between but the different stories. So yeah, it was a challenge, but it was great because we got to bring in all of these young musicians from Montezuma County, and he gave them a lot of leadership in implementing them in implementing the music in performance. And they would talk about tempo and how that affected the performance and the actors and the sound people. So it was really great to see, to be able to have him come and have a professional experience with these students. It was really great.
How does the collaborative process work to figure out, you know, what music is going to work with this part in the script?
Well, I gave him a copy of the second draft of the script, and he read it. And from that, he created some basic sounds that we could then change to fit different scenes. So some of them are like the same composition, but just some little details that are added or taken away according to the scene. So that's a really good way of creating a kind of musical through line, is that you have some basic melodies and some basic sounds that you can then change to fit different scenes. So, I mean, it's really beautiful music, but it's really rather, I don't want to say simple, but it's very, yeah, there's a simplicity to it that's really beautiful. Yeah.
I'd like to preview another scene here. I think this one is from fairly early on in the play, and it's a character, Mr. Driscoll, mm-hmm. who is waking up to just this huge greenery of trees. What kind of context do we need before we play this scene?
So Benjamin Driscoll he came to Mars, and his body didn't react very well to the new climate. And
I would imagine.
the climate as we imagine it to be, or as Bradbury imagined it to be. But Benjamin Driscoll wants to plant trees. That's all he wants to do. He's kind of a Johnny Appleseed type person. So he goes to Mars, and he just wants to adapt the environment so that he can breathe.
The sun rose slowly over the hills and awakened Mr. Driscoll. He waited a moment before rising. He had worked and waited for one long, hot month. And now, standing up, he turned to face the direction from which he had come. It was green as far as the eye could see. Not one tree, not two, not even a dozen, but thousands and thousands, and not little trees, not saplings, full shimmering trees with metallic leaves and lemons and limes, aspens, cherry, maple, ash, apple, and eucalyptus.
Impossible!
But the valley was green. The air, a brand new moving current, blew through the trees. In a moment, the town doors flew open and people ran out through the oxygen, fresh and pure. It froze noses, it pinkened cheeks, it revived lungs, it sent hearts leaping and worn, tired bodies into a dance.